Please turn with us to Romans chapter 4 this morning. Romans chapter 4, we'll read the verses 1 to 12. What then shall we say was gained by Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Now to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. And to the one who does not work, but trusts in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. Just as David also speaks of the blessing of the one to whom God counts righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin. Is this blessing then only for the circumcised or also for the uncircumcised? We say that faith was counted to Abraham as righteousness. How then was it counted to him? Was it before or after he had been circumcised? It was not after, but before he was circumcised. He received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while still uncircumcised. The purpose was to make him the father of all who believe without being circumcised, so that righteousness would be counted to them as well, and to make him the father of the circumcised, who are not merely circumcised, but who also walk in the footsteps of the faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised.
Let's ask the Lord's blessing on his word as we consider it this morning. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that you would use your word as you've promised by the operation of the Holy Spirit to be a means of grace to our souls, to strengthen our faith, to summon us to look at the work of Jesus Christ, to see its sufficiency and your regard for it, so sufficient that you will regard even the ungodly be justified as they believe in Jesus Christ. Thank you for that gospel. Build us up in it, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we look at God's word this morning, I'd like us to focus our attention on verse 11 of Romans 4, where it talks about circumcision as a sign and as a seal. Circumcision is a sacrament. And the Lord's Supper is a sacrament that we celebrate today. This comes as a reflection on what we looked at last week in Mark chapter 7 when Jesus approaches the Jews and he says, you leave the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of men. And they were violating the religion that God had revealed. Did that raise any questions in your mind? Particularly when it comes to the practices we have about the sacraments. Are these necessary? Is how we practice this sacrament, for instance, does that reflect simply man's traditions, our history, Reformed traditions, or is it a reflection of what God has called us to? Do you wonder about that? Especially when you visit other churches and they do things a bit differently. Why do we celebrate the sacrament this way? The elders have been wrestling with this. We've all had to wrestle with this to one degree or another with the changes that have been put in place through the regulations of the government. Everything is changing. And are we willing to ask the question, with everything changing the way it has, are we still doing what pleases God. That's what worship is to be about. It's about not what suits us, not what feels comfortable to us, not what flows from our tradition, but does what we're doing still please God? That's a question that we need to constantly be asking about worship, but also about the sacraments. When we read from the form that the Lord's Supper is designed by God, and God uses this sacrament to nourish and refresh us to eternal life, that the sacrament does something, what do you make of that? You simply gloss over and say, yeah, but those are just words. That's just our tradition. Sadly, that happens today in many different ways. Many Christians regard the Lord's Supper and other sacraments, there's only one other sacrament, the sacrament of baptism. They regard the Lord's Supper and baptism simply as a personal witness. It's my testimony about what I believe the Lord Jesus Christ has done for me. Is that all it is? Is a way, an elaborate way for the church to say, this is what Jesus has done for us? Is it simply our response, a witness to God? Or is God doing something for us? We believe Scripture teaches that God is actually doing something through this sacrament. So that's what I'd like us to unpack a little bit this morning as we prepare for participation in this sacrament, to consider this sacrament as a sign and a seal. And first of all, consider the sacrament's relationship to faith. And secondly, their God-given purpose. First of all, their relationship to faith. This is the question that Paul is dealing with in Romans 4. What is the relationship of circumcision to faith? And here we need to push ourselves a little bit. Do you think that this sacrament and participating in the Lord's Supper, we're going to forgo circumcision for just a moment, just think about the Lord's Supper. Do you think participating in this sacrament makes you right with God? The reason I ask this question is because this is an error that so subtly creeps into our hearts. And it's not unknown. Biblically, it's what happened with the Jews. They separated God's design for the sacrament of circumcision from their use of circumcision, and they began to regard the fact that they were circumcised as an indication, as a mark, as a designation, as a witness of their right standing with God. And the way Paul overcomes this argument is he reminds them of the timeline that God had for establishing the sacrament of circumcision. That what the Jews believed and considered, that circumcision is a witness to righteousness, can't be the case because doesn't fit the flow of events that happened in the life of Abraham. When was Abraham regarded by God as righteous? This is verse 3. For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. You see, there's a relationship to faith here. It was his faith that made him right with God. And it was by faith that God regarded Abraham as righteous. It was after that, then, that Abraham received the sign of circumcision. Now, the danger for us is we impose this idea on the sacraments, and particularly the Lord's Supper, that those who participate are those who are right with God. And there's a subtlety about this, that it becomes a witness of my right standing before God. But you see what that says then? Then we have something to boast about. I'm all good with God, and so I'm going to come to the table with others who are right with God. Now, this isn't an abstraction. I've heard this a number of times in pre-profession of faith class with youth who are really struggling and grappling with what it means to come to the table of the Lord. And so I asked them, and in working through this, the blessing of being God's covenant child is this opportunity to come to the table of the Lord and having professed their faith. What does that profession of faith mean? And some of it take it to mean that, oh, now I've arrived at a particular point of righteousness, of sanctification. And so we talk about the blessing of professing your faith and the blessing that you can come to the table of the Lord. And that's where the conversation seems to stall. And there's a reservation. And I ask, why not? I don't know if I should come to the table because I'm not holy enough. I'm not committed enough. I'm too weak. I have these faults and these errors that go with me, these struggles that I have in life. I don't know if I should come to the table of the Lord. So how do you, brothers and sisters, view those who come to the Lord's Supper? They're the ones who have arrived. They're good enough to come to the table. And you see, then we have the same problem that crept into Judaism. The witness of Abraham's righteousness, what was that witness? He was circumcised. Paul warns of this error. No, you've got the timing all wrong. You don't come to this table. God hasn't established this sacrament as a sign that you're on a good footing with Him. It's a sign that you realize you're a sinner. Isn't that astounding what God says? And to the one who does not work but believes in Him who justifies, not the circumcised, but the ungodly. God is the one who justifies the ungodly. He does this when they believe in the work of Jesus Christ. That faith in Jesus Christ is counted as sufficient, all that's required. After Abraham was declared righteous, then he was circumcised. Then he received the sacrament. You see, it's that faith. It's believing in what Jesus has done, how He's died for our sins. That's what the sacrament is a sign of. The sacrament of a faith that believes, I'm ungodly, but Christ is my righteousness. He is everything. He's done everything. He's fulfilled all of God's law. He's opened the path to heaven. He's satisfied God's justice. He bore the weight of my guilt, my penalty upon the cross. Faith alone says, it's not what I've done. It's not what I have. It's what Christ has done. And this is what David says too. He speaks of this blessing. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin. This blessing is resounded from Psalm 32. All his lawless deeds are forgiven. And don't we have sufficient of those? Our sins are covered. David isn't saying, I've outgrown them and now I've got the blessing. He's saying, no, I'm still struggling. And that's the history of David as well. Throughout his whole life, even right to the end, he struggled against his sins. And it was his faith that allowed him to say, but the blessing is all of my sinful acts, all of my lawless deeds, all of my unrighteousness is overcome. And now by faith, by the blessing of Jesus Christ, all is atoned for. And this sacrament testifies that righteousness starts with faith. A right standing with God is given by grace and received by believing in His Son. And so this is a sacrament that summons you to see what God is showing you and me. Again, it's a call to faith, first and foremost. Come, fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Come, recognize and acknowledge that it's not your righteousness that makes you good enough to receive this sacrament, but it is only and completely the sufficiency of Jesus Christ, of His work. That His body was broken, His blood was shed for a complete, for everything you've done, for everything you are, a complete forgiveness of your sins. God has designed this sacrament, just like He designed circumcision, as a sign, a picture, so that when someone asks you, why have you received the sacrament, whether baptism or the Lord's Supper, we must say, because the sacraments show us, they picture for us the very need for faith in Jesus Christ that every one of us has. And it is only by Him and Him alone that our sins can be covered and our lawless deeds forgiven. What a glorious picture to strengthen your hearts, my heart. After a week of self-examination, and we've acknowledged our guilt and our sin, where no matter how hard we've tried, we haven't attained perfection. And we know we're not good enough. And we know we're not committed enough. And we have these sins which remain in us against our will. And who will help? Consider this picture. It reminds us again, it shows us, beloved Christian, you who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, God says, you're right. You're okay. I love you. Your sins are forgiven. Your righteousness is found in Jesus Christ completely. God shows us that. But now there's another aspect of this sacrament, and that's this God-given purpose. Not only is there a required faith or a relationship to faith, there's a God-given purpose. God has given the sacrament as a seal. This is a deeper purpose to this sacrament. We don't often reflect on this. Most Christians would agree with us to a degree that the sign works in the sacrament that God is showing us, but the sealing work, the fact that God is doing something, that there's a spiritual effect that flows that is taught in God's Word. He's not simply showing us something. God has promised to actually do something for us by the power of the Holy Spirit when we participate in the sacrament. Sacraments are a seal. Boys and girls, when you hear that word seal, it's not something we run into every day. But you'll hear it if you read the Bible. It's what the Jews asked Pilate to do with Jesus' tomb. Remember that Jesus was buried in the tomb. They'd rolled the stone, but they weren't quite sure that that tomb would stay closed. So the Jews went to Pilate and they asked, we want to have this officially closed. And so Pilate gave them his ring and they poured some wax or some other substance onto the crack around the stone and they put his imprint. It was officially closed. It could never be opened except under the authority of Pilate. And of course God overcame that. But it was a seal that was impressed to remind that something had officially happened. Well, that's God's purpose. God has this official sacrament as something that has to flourish and function in the Church of Jesus Christ through the work of the office bearers. But God says when you participate that, He's associated His promise with this, and it seals to your souls. The Holy Spirit is using it in such a way to verify that something has actually happened, that God guarantees to you with this sacrament As if he hasn't shown enough, he guarantees it to your souls that the righteousness you need to go to heaven is yours. Guaranteed. It's authentic. God seals this. Verse 11 reminds us, he received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith, as God's official guarantee that what he said would be accomplished. That Abraham was regarded by God and received by God as righteous, not in himself, not by his works, because then he'd have something to boast about, but by the gift of God's Son. And God has promised that this sacrament does something. There's spiritual power in this sacrament. Consider what happens if we misuse this sacrament. Turn with me for a moment to 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 27. If we misuse this sacrament, there is real judgment that flows, just as there was with circumcision. If Israel neglected or misused their circumcision, God would hold them to account. Same with the Lord's Supper. Consider what Paul says. This is where we have our understanding and reminds us of our call for self-examination. It's in these verses, verse 27. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. And here's the reason. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. There is spiritual power. There's a spiritual sealing that is taking place. So Paul says in verse 30, that is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died, because they were misusing the sacrament. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined, so that we may not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, so that when you come together, it will not be for judgment. About the other things, I will give you directions when I come. Paul warns us. God warns us. As a seal of righteousness, this sacrament does something. If we use it by faith, by a true faith, by a faith that knows repentance and looks at our sins and turns from them to the grace of Jesus Christ, if we have a faith that is filled with a recognition of all that God has provided for us in the grace of His Son, if we come with a faith that has a zeal for grateful service, inspired by grace and motivated by grace, that wants to do what is right and pleasing in God's eyes, not to secure our righteousness, but because we've received it by grace. If we use it by faith, God says, I will seal this blessing. I will nourish and refresh you to eternal life. It's a seal. Do you have questions? We all do. Doubts, concerns. God says, come. Come. You feel that your faith is too weak? God says, come. Come. Your righteousness, it is yours, not of yourselves, but fully through the work of Jesus Christ. Believe that. And then trust. Trust that God will use this sacrament to seal that righteousness, to strengthen that faith, to see more of Christ, to know more of Christ. Use our senses to taste and smell and savor and believe completely what Christ has accomplished on the cross. That's God's purpose. for the sacrament, to seal to our faith that certainty of the gospel to our souls. Amen.